Week 30, Friday, Readings. Lord, open our lips, and we shall praise your name. Indeed, how good is the Lord! Bless his holy name. Come, ring out our joy to the Lord, hail the God who saves us. Let us come before him giving thanks, with songs let us hail the Lord. A mighty God is the Lord, a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his. To him belongs the sea, for he made it, and the dry land shaped by his hands. Come in, let us bow and bend low, let us kneel before the God who made us. For he is our God, and we, the people who belong to his pasture, the flock that is led by his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as on that day at Massa in the desert, when your fathers put me to the test, when they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was wearied of these people, and I said, Their hearts are astray, these people do not know my ways. Then I took an oath in my anger, Never shall they enter my rest. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Indeed, how good is the Lord! Bless his holy name! God has spoken by his prophets, spoken his unchanging word, each from age to age proclaiming, God the One, the righteous Lord. Mid the world's despair and turmoil, one firm anchor holdeth fast. God is King, his throne eternal, God the first and God the last. God hath spoken by Christ Jesus, Christ the everlasting Son, brightness of the Father's glory, with the Father ever one. Spoken by the Word incarnate, God of God, ere time began, light of light, to earth descending, man revealing God to man. Do not punish me, Lord, in your rage. Psalm 37. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Do not punish me, Lord, in your rage. Your arrows have sunk deep in me. Your hand has come down upon me. Through your anger all my body is sick. Through my sin there is no health in my limbs. My guilt towers higher than my head. It is a weight too heavy to bear. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Do not punish me, Lord, in your rage. O Lord, you know all my longing. Psalm 37 continued. My wounds are foul and festering, the result of my own folly. I am bowed and brought to my knees. I go mourning all the day long. All my frame burns with fever. All my body is sick, spent and utterly crushed. I cry aloud in anguish of heart. O Lord, you know all my longing. My groans are not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength is spent. The very light has gone from my eyes. My friends avoid me like a leper. Those closest to me stand afar off. Those who plot against my life lay snares. Those who seek my ruin speak of harm, planning treachery all the day long. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O Lord, you know all my longing. I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not forsake me, my Saviour. Psalm 37 concluded. But I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the dumb unable to speak. I am like a man who hears nothing, in whose mouth is no defence. I count on you, O Lord. It is you, Lord God, who will answer. I pray, do not let them mock me. Those who triumph if my foot should slip. For I am on the point of falling, and my pain is always before me. I confess that I am guilty, and my sin fills me with dismay. My wanton enemies are numberless, and my lying foes are many. They repay me evil for good, and attack me for seeking what is right. O Lord, do not forsake me. My God, do not stay afar off. Make haste and come to my help. O Lord, my God, my Saviour. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not forsake me, my Saviour. My eyes yearn for your saving help. I await the promise of your justice. A reading from the Book of Wisdom, Chapter 8. Bold is her sweep, from world's end to world's end, and everywhere her gracious ordering manifests itself. She, from my youth up, has been my heart's true love, my heart's true quest. She was the bride I longed for, enamoured of her beauty. Was I moved by noble birth? No better claim than hers, who dwells in God's palace, marked out by the ruler of the world as his favourite, the mistress of his craftsmanship, the arbiter of his plans. Or should life's dearest aim be wealth? Why then, who has more wealth at her disposal than wisdom that turns all to account? Or if sound judgment is man's business, who else on earth goes to work so skilfully as she? If your desire be for honest living, man's excellences are the fruit she labours to produce. Temperance and prudence she teaches, justice and fortitude, and what in life avails man more? Or if wide knowledge be your ambition, she can inform you of what is past, make conjecture of the future. She is versed in the subtleties of debate, in the readings of all riddles. Marvels and portents she can foretell, and what events time or season will bring. Her, then, I would take to myself, to share my home, to be my counsellor in prosperity, my solace in anxiety and grief. Through her I shall win fame in the assembly, find honour, though so young, amid the elders. If I sit in judgment, quick wit shall be mine, that shall strike awe into the princes when I appear before them, the admiration of the great. Am I silent? They wait my leisure. Speak I? They take heed. Flows my speech on? They listen, hand on lip. She too will bring me immortality. Imperishable the name I shall leave to after ages. Mine to rule peoples, and have nations at my call, dread tyrants to daunt by the very name of me, the name of a king so loved by his people, so brave in battle. Then home again, to rest upon her bosom. No shrewish mate, no tedious housewife, joy and contentment all of her. So ran my thoughts, and well in my heart I pondered them. Wisdom that brought such kinship with immortality, whose friendship was such dear delight, whose exercise brought me credit unfailing, her daily comradeship a training in sound judgment, the eloquence she inspired an earnest of renown. Win her for myself I must, and went about to attain my purpose. I was, indeed, a boy of good parts, and nobility of nature had fallen to my lot. Gentle birth above the common had endowed me with a body free from blemish. But to be master of myself was a thing I could not hope to come by, except of God's bounty. I was wise enough already to know whence the gift came. Responsory from Wisdom 7. I prayed and understanding was given me. I entreated and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I esteemed her more than sceptres and thrones. If there is any one of you who needs wisdom, he must ask God, who gives to all freely and ungrudgingly. It will be given to him. I entreated, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I esteemed her more than scepters and thrones. A reading from the works of Baldwin of Canterbury. Quote, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." End of quote. What great power and what great wisdom there is in the word of God, these words demonstrate to men seeking Christ, who is the word and the power and the wisdom of God. This word, with the Father in the beginning and co-eternal with him, was at the appointed time revealed to the apostles, and by them proclaimed, and humbly received in faith by the peoples who believed. The word, then, is in the Father, in the mouth of the preacher, and in the heart of men. This word of God is living. The Father granted it to have life in himself, as he has life in himself. Therefore it is not only living, but is also life. As it says to itself, quote, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." End of quote. Since it is life, so it is living so as to be life-giving. For, quote, "As the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to those whom he wills." End of quote. It is life-giving when he calls the dead man from the tomb and says, "Lazarus, come forth." When the word is preached by the proclamation, it gives to its own voice, which is heard outwardly, a voice of power interiorly sensed, by which the dead live again, and from the stones are raised up sons to Abraham. This word, then, is living in the heart of the Father, living in the mouth of the preacher, living in the heart of the believer and lover. Since the word is living in such a manner, without doubt, it is also active. It is active in the creation of things, active in the control of the world, active in the redemption of the world. What is more active or more powerful? Quote, "Who can speak of his powers or voice all his praises?" End of quote. It is active in its working, active when preached. It does not return empty, but prospers in all things to which it is sent. It is active and more piercing than any two-edged sword when it is believed and loved. What is impossible to the believer or difficult to the lover? When this word speaks, its words pierce the heart like the sharp arrows of a man of might, like nails driven in deep, and they go so far as to penetrate the inmost being. For this word is more penetrating than any two-edged sword, being more powerfully incisive than any other strength or power, and more subtle than any sharpness of the human mind, keener than any refinement of human wisdom or learned speech. Responsory from Sirach. The source of wisdom is the word of God in the heavens. Her ways are the eternal laws. To fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Her ways are the eternal laws. Let us pray. Lord God, deepen our faith, strengthen our hope, enkindle our love, and so that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. We make our prayer through Christ our Lord. Let us praise the Lord. Thanks be to God.